Welcome everyone. We're about to begin Be'ez Hashem BPW share number 129. That's Ba'is Panimi share for women, share number 129. In regard to the physical sexual relationship and the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it to be, it's something very, very important. Hashem designed it. He put it in human beings and he put it into the purpose of creation between a husband and a wife. A sacred act, sacred connection that is beyond human description. Hashem put it there, this drive, not solely for the purpose of just to see whether you're going to pass tests or that it's an evil thing, that the whole purpose of it is just to see that you use it the right way and you don't use it the wrong way. And it's not meant just as most people believe, although in this generation, unfortunately, it is indeed a tremendous nisayon of this generation, the misused sexuality. But Hashem's purpose of putting it in people, it was not solely as a nisayon, was not solely to see that oh, it's a bad thing that you have to make sure you don't misuse. And, you know, but no, it's not like that. It has a positive, beautiful intent that it, when it's meant to be, and that's the purpose of it, and that's the Ikar Kavana of it. It's Hashem's design for two human beings that are a couple, a man and a woman. It has the potential to bring the most intense pleasure in a marriage, but sex also has the potential to lead them to the greatest amount of pain and Agmas Nefesh. The reason behind that is why it could cause such terrible pain is, number one, because of the general misunderstandings between husbands and wives, between men and women in general, that we explained in previous shiurim, that when you say the word intimacy, which is a very, very important need, both for husbands and for wives, but they understand it differently, stereotypically and generally. Men spell intimacy as S-E-X. That's what it is, the physical sexual relationship. Women spell intimacy as talk, T-A-L-K, or communication. We'll talk more about that soon. But this difference between the two in this area, this misunderstanding and not knowing how to handle that misunderstanding, and instead of not, you know, of trying to align, they don't align and don't work with each other on their definition and give them what they need, creates a tremendous amount of agmas nefesh. Another reason why sex in married life could cause a tremendous amount of pain and agmas nefesh is because of the unrealistic expectations about sex, about the expectations built on media images. And we measure our own experiences, especially if we were exposed to it. And you see on movies, you see from books of this fictitious concept of endless physical pleasure in a very unresponsible and unrealistic way. And then you compare it to the realistic aspects of your own life and your own married life. So ultimately, of course, you'll feel disappointed or even cheated. This is a tremendous pitfall. It could be undone, and it needs to be worked on and undone. And when you undo it, you could have tremendous amount of simcha and simchas achayim, but you have to uproot this out of your consciousness. Another thing why sexual lives of married couples could cause a tremendous amount of pain and hurt is because we too often see sexual pleasure as something we would get rather than something we give. And we're more focused on our own needs rather than on our own spouse's needs. And a great sex life, frankly, leaves no room for selfishness. There's nothing wrong with enjoyment, even intense enjoyment. But it has to be using the Hebrew terms, bederech memela. It has to come as a byproduct, a taitza min hadavar, like an outcome of something, not that is the thing. Meaning that ultimately, if you do it the right way, you'll experience intense physical and emotional pleasure. But the deep, satisfying sex only occurs when a husband and wife connect the physical together with the spiritual aspects of their relationship. and their emotional aspects of their relationship and their relational aspects of relating to one another, psychologically, physiologically, and so on and so forth. And when all these facets work together the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed human beings to interact this way, especially married couples, then Hashem gives them that gift of enjoying the sexual life between each other. Hashem created men and women as sexual beings. It's very, very confusing for people. And very often people are curious about it. They want to hear about it, sometimes because, you know, they feel it's forbidden. You know, Mayim Genuvim Yintaku, people don't talk about it. But a lot of it deep down is to try to understand, especially Erlich good people, they just want to remove the confusion that they feel in their hearts about this. There are some that go one way and make it physical, make it very one-dimensional, and they go that way. Others, because they don't understand the concept, they experience a tremendous amount of guilt. This happens with the right-wing Christian people. It happens with right-wing Orthodox people, Orthodox Jewish people in certain circles, where they experience, unfortunately, a tremendous amount of guilt, a tremendous amount of shame, and they're struggling with trying to make heads and tails out of it, and they're very conflicted when it comes to their own sexual life in married life. Another thing to realize is like this: there is nothing wrong if you get it from the right sources, from a healthy, either from sex therapist or a sex therapist that has their brain screwed on straight, or from certain healthy books, or from certain mentors, to learn about certain sexual techniques that would make the couple's interactions more pleasant and even a lot more enjoyable. There's nothing wrong with that. In the right context, in the right time, and working through it and reading up in healthy places of how to work with each other on techniques and ways to increase and maximize your sexual physical pleasure. But the problem is that it's too hyper-focused on that is not healthy. You don't define sex based on that. And that's not the goal of it. And that also needs to be, for the most part, a byproduct of it. It really, the purpose is an expression of love and affection and bonding and becoming uniting as one and giving to the other and providing for their needs. And it's the sexual needs is not just sexual needs. Of course, it's not fully, cannot fully be realized unless the needs of each person is met or a real strong attempt to be met both inside and outside the bedroom. What is or is not going on outside the bedroom has a profound impact on what goes on inside the bedroom. That is just the basic fact of what marriage is. So it's okay and it's even healthy for a couple to try to pursue to have great sex and to enjoy it and have a satisfying sex life. Nothing wrong with it at all. But it can't be put into a isolated container. It can't be just hyper-focused just on that. Of course, if you have a Rav, a healthy mentor, those aspects that could help couples on specific and overall marriage issues and learn how to enjoy each other, both in the physical, pleasurable sense of intimate life, as well as emotionally and physically and spiritually and emotionally as well. That is the idea. If you treat your spouse the way you want to be treated, then you'll more likely have a healthy and satisfactory sexual life with each other. If you treat them the way you wish to be treated and you are giving, it's not an easy topic to discuss sexual needs. And it needs to be done with a great amount of understanding and love and care and sensitivity. But the key is to understand your husband's uniqueness, his unique personality, and to love the goodness that's within him, and to fulfill and commit to meeting those unique needs. It would create a satisfying relationship overall and a satisfying sexual relationship. Of course, the husband needs to do his part in being giving as the Ikar Mashpia, as we spoke about often, as Mrs. Davis in her shiurim of a review of one of the books pertaining to giving and receiving. But receiving also means giving, and we explained that at length, and she explained it beautifully there. But the idea is, of course, that goes without saying, but again, on a receiving end and on a woman's end, it doesn't mean that it's passive. She has a lot to give and she has a lot to offer, and she needs to give and she needs to offer, providing, of course, he's yearning and he's trying to do the best he can. And you both together work on trying to be the best that you both can be. There are times when these differences are reversed. There are times where the men are more in tune with their emotions and the women are reversed, are more focused on their physical side of sex. Sometimes that happens as well. No reason to feel guilty about that. It's just natures, it's different natures. You work with your different natures. So this is the idea. And we're going to discuss it in various shiurim here to highlight what sexual needs really, really mean, both on the physical level, but of course, towards gaining a deeper understanding of what sexual intimacy is, which encompasses the whole person as a totality. That is the real key to all of this. It is never meant to be an isolated aspect here. It's always meant to be connected to the whole of a person and to the whole of their relationship. And that's something very important to understand and to incorporate and recognize as you go through this. Truth be told, there are many studies. This is a real misconception, because when one was exposed to movies and exposed to television, exposed to books, or hears a lot of things and always snoops in what they tell you what's going on in other people's bedrooms, and you conclude that if you're single or if you have extramarital affairs, that's where you have the best sex. It is totally false and fictitious. Yes, initially, of course, mayin genuvim yimtaku, that's a pasuk in Mishlei, where something's forbidden automatically will have a certain appeal to it. But medical studies and studies overall really proved that happy married couples, meaning couples that indeed worked on their marriage, they have the best, most satisfying sex. Not the singles hooking up together, not extramarital affairs. It's happily married couples enjoy the most satisfying sex. They enjoy it, having it more often, higher level of physical fulfillment and pleasure, and higher emotional fulfillment and pleasure. 88% of married people receive greatest physical pleasure from their sexual relationship with one another, and 85% report the same positive experience on an emotional level. And there was a survey back in 1994, so it's already a while back already, you know, that's 30 years ago, where they interviewed 3,400 people, and married people outscored single people in all measures of their delight in their physical and emotional relationship pertaining to the sexual union. And the bottom line is this concept that monogamy meaning staying with one person, is boring or monotonous, is not the case. 91% of husbands and wives say that they aren't just satisfied in that particular survey with 3,400 people. Not just they were not satisfied, but they are thrilled with their relationship. And as cynical as people talk, and as cynical as people sound, and that it's downhill from whenever, or whatever it is, and all these jokes that go with it, and also the normal, understandable challenges of the stresses of life and familiarity with one another, despite all of that, if you work towards each other, and you work with each other to have a healthy, satisfying marriage relationship overall, which, by the way, includes not necessarily always behaving beautifully. The idea being is even when you slip and you don't behave beautifully, the repair, the ability for each one of you to repair right away, basically the bounce back aspect, the art of repairing when a mistake is made and self-correct each one individually towards each other, and then you develop that marriage relationship in a healthy way and a true deep friendship, that is when sex between the two is extremely and intensely satisfying. And even with older age, and even if there's certain technical physical dysfunction sometimes, they nevertheless can have an extremely satisfying sexual relationship and intimate relationship well into old age. So it's a myth to believe that can't be. But of course, in order for this to happen, it's not just a matter of working, oh, we got to work on bedroom only or sex only. It's a matter of working on the overall relationship. Like we said, outside and inside the bedroom, all aspects, emotional connections, and so on and so forth. So whether it's men or whether it's women, if their focus is more on the physical aspects of the relationships, their mind is more on having the physical sexual aspects, usually it's men, but very often it could be women as well, they need to develop their emotional side and spiritual side. And those that have that emotional side and have less of the physical side, yeah, then yes, yeah, they indeed do need to work on the physical aspects of the relationship and their bodies and being familiar with it and being as healthy as possible with it and learning how to enjoy that physical aspect of it. That's equally important. Wherever there is a need to work on it, that's where you need to work on. If it's physical, it's physical. If it's emotional, it's emotional. If it's spiritual, it's spiritual. Each thing. Or work on all of them together in different varied ways that you can indeed work on them together. And that is really the aside of it. And the idea being is this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it. And again, like it seems very strange to people. That's where the Shekhinah is. Shekhinah is in a bedroom when a couple is having sex. What is this? And it's strange for people to wrap their heads around that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets Nachas Ruach from and enjoys when a couple is enjoying it, but of course through the Chazal's words, Bizman, that there's shalom between them. And shalom, of course, is not just physical. Shalom is overall shalom in treating each other with a tremendous ahava, love, a respect. Respect coming first, like we always said. A love coming afterwards, and also a certain fear, but a fear, not a fear like a restrictive fear, but more like a fear of losing something that's very precious, realizing that the relationship is fragile and very, very precious, and you want to keep that relationship special. And it's within people's reach to reach this. You start little by little, no matter where things are right now, it could improve dramatically. You daven for it, you ask for siyata d'shmaya for it, you work together through it, and me'at Hashem, you will have tremendous atzlocha, and it will bring a lot of healing in the relationship. Bracha v'atzlocha.